pastors here at Trinity. Steve and Catherine are out of town this weekend. They were in Kansas City with a bunch of our leadership this week at a leadership institute at Church of the Resurrection in Kansas. And so they will be back this coming week, which is prayers for their safe travel. In the meantime, we have the pleasure of Reverend Cliff Patrick sharing the Word of God with us today. So I'm super excited about that. Yes, super excited. And I just want to take a few minutes to welcome you to worship this morning, to point out the Connect card. If you will take a moment to pull that out and give us your name and your email address if you're one of our regular attenders. If you're new to our community, then we're thrilled that you are here this morning, and just as much information as you're willing to share with us, we would welcome. But it does help us stay connected to you, so please take a moment to do that. If you're doing it for you and your spouse, you can put both of your names on it. That works too. Our mission box for this week is our sister church in Cienfuega, Cuba. And so you can read a little bit more about that in your bulletin this morning. But we encourage you to pray about that church, pray for their strength and for their encouragement and for their inspiration to continue to spread God's word throughout Cuba. And if you feel led to help them with that ministry financially, you can give it any of the wooden boxes that you see as you leave today. You'll see the mission box symbol on there, and you can put that there. We are in the midst of collecting items for our Thanksgiving basket. And in the past, we've been able to usually do around 1,000 of those for our community, which is just an incredible form of outreach and a way to bless those who are in need during the holiday season. And we've learned over the last few years that rather than having everybody bring a bag of groceries and having to sort, it's much easier if you help us sort as we go. So we're doing it week by week. And we started this last year. It worked fabulously. This week, if you already brought it, it's gravy packets. You can put it in the blue bin. If you haven't, you can bring gravy packets anytime this week. And if you're shopping during the week and you want to bring something for next week, it's stuffing. We're looking for boxes with stuffing or bags of stuffing. So as I was thinking about the fact that we have an opportunity to welcome you each and every week, I was thinking about my life, which tends to be very busy during the week. And it seems like until we get to the point where we're actually going to greet one another, I'm still in the mode of thinking about to-do lists and the things that have to happen. And so this morning, as we begin to get ready for a time of greeting, I want to invite you just to take a moment and be present here so that when I welcome you and we have our traditional response, you're able to do it fully present. So everybody, you can close your eyes or not. Take a moment to just really breathe in. Exhale. And now I say to you, welcome home. Will you stand and greet those around you? If there's someone you don't recognize, make sure to introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please stand as you're able, and let's begin our worship together by singing our opening hymn.
Praise the Lord, oh, preach the gospel, be the again.
we are here to praise the one who makes us one, whose love was poured out for us through the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as we worship you this morning, Lord, may that story be reignited within us, and may we find ourselves within it and go forth from here to invite others to join us in this life that is more abundant. Join me in affirming our faith with the words that you see before you on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Glory be to the Father.
Go to God in prayer together as a community, and as we do that, we wanted to let you know about the folks that are in the hospital that we're visiting. If there's anyone that you know of that could use visitation by our care team, please don't hesitate to let us know. In addition to that, many of you have asked me how Aaron is doing, and so he's doing quite well, so continued prayers for him. He's enjoying his time. It is definitely boot camp for officers, so prayers for him. He's not the oldest, though. But we do thank you, and so since many of you asked me, I thought I would just go ahead and share that. As we enter into a time of prayer now, I'm going to be using a litany from our hymnal. It's called the Litany for the Church and the World. We've used it before, and most of the time we end up offering prayers that we have crafted on our own, and we feel are just bubbling up in our heart in the moment. But there is a beauty in also coming back to words that are said throughout our churches, throughout the world. And so I'm going to use that to guide our time. It will begin with a brief time of silence so that you can share with God whatever you have on your heart. And then I will read one of the lines of the prayer, and it will, at the end of that, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and you will respond with me if you feel inclined, hear our prayer. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And then there'll be another brief time of silence there for you to meditate on whatever it is that we just prayed about. So let's begin our time together in silence, and I'll lead us forward. Almighty God, grant that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in the eternal kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we offer all of these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
In Christ there is no east or west, in Him the suffer not, and what great fellowship of love in the love of all my Lord. In Christ shall through hearts everywhere, if I come to
God with our financial gifts and our offerings. We do so not just to continue the ministries of this church, but we do so to honor God first and foremost. And so as we begin with a time of prayer, I invite you to just consider the ways that you are allowing God to guide you in the stewardship of all that God gives you, and use it to bring glory to God and to thank God for His incredible generosity. Let's pray. Loving Father, redeeming Son, and Holy Spirit, with our every breath and the air that fills our lungs, may it draw us closer to you. The water, food, and air that keeps us alive are gifts from your goodness. Every gift we offer back to you as a result of your generosity to us through throughout all creation. This morning, as we bring our gifts to you, remind us once again that everything we see, the sky, the sea, the ground we walk on, the plants, the animals, our very lives are a gift. May we use them in honor of you, and may you bless these gifts to further your work. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear God, as we come now, I surrender to your will. Have thine own way with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our text today from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. You can bring that up. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, an heir to his promise. Our thought that we glean from that scripture today is, you're okay and I'm okay. In the early 1970s, while in the United States Navy, I attended a workshop to help improve race relations. It was based on a book by Thomas Anthony Harris, and the title was, I'm Okay, and You're Okay. Harris said that there were four conditions in a relationship. First one was, I'm okay, but you are not okay. See, I got myself together, but there's a few things wrong with you. You don't measure up to my standards. You don't have my education, my social status. You don't quite measure up. The other one was, I'm okay, and you're not okay. See, we can't get along because you're not okay. Yeah, I understand that I'm not okay, but it was you that caused me to not be okay. Then we have one that, okay, I surrender. I give up. Yeah, you're okay, and I'm not. I just give up and say, well, I can't equal to them, and I can't equal to her, I can't equal to him. So I give up and I just surrender. I'm not okay. But the main one they were trying to reach is the one that says, I'm okay and you are okay. Understand that where I am, I am satisfied, but I'm also satisfied with you. Where you are. But a few years later, about 10 years or so, I realized the real problem with my relationship and my shipmate was not the relationship with them, but it was my relationship with God. See, I was not okay with God. God was not okay with me. God was not happy with me because he had sent his blessed son to die for me on the cross of Calvary. But I refused to accept this offer. God said if I wanted a relationship with him, and I must believe in his son, Jesus. I wasn't okay with God because I wouldn't accept his offer. God was not okay with me because I wouldn't trust God. I wouldn't believe what God said in his word. I would not walk in the direction God had asked me to go. So I was not. God was not okay with me. But one day I sat down and I repented. I realized that God was okay. I finally accepted the idea and the blessing that his son Jesus should and would be Lord of my life. That made me a child of God. In our text today, we find that the apostle is writing to churches in Galatia. They were having problems. Even though they had accepted Christ, they had a number of issues going on. They were verbally fighting and destroying each other. Some of them considered Paul to be an enemy because he would tell them the truth. They had some false teachers among them, perverting the gospel. They had some that wanted to go back to the old tradition. Some who was using the grace of God as an opportunity to commit sin. Their actions were saying that I'm okay, but you are not okay. They were saying you need to be like me. You need to think like me. You need to do the things that I do in order for us to be okay. But in our text, Paul is writing, trying to get them to understand that there is a difference between life in the world and life in Christ Jesus. You can bring our text back up, please. In our text, it says that so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. It's not about carrying out the law. It wasn't about being circumcised. It wasn't about having service on certain days. It was about believing that Jesus died and rose again. It's through faith in Christ Jesus. If all of you who were baptized into Christ. Well, I need to take a little sidebar right here. Talk a little bit about this baptized into Christ. If you read the scriptures in the New Testament, you will find there are seven types of baptism. Four of them are with water, and three are spiritual baptism. If you remember, when John came announcing the arrival of Jesus, he said, I come now baptizing you with water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me who is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But in our text today, for all of you who are baptized into Christ, talking about being baptized by Christ with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you one other thing before we move on from there. is an important thing. You see, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those whom God possesses. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God I got my reservation. Receive my confirmation that Jesus is preparing a room for me in my Father's house. Paul said, if you put on, if you receive Christ Jesus, you're now a part of Christ Jesus, and you need to close yourself in Christ Jesus. People should see some DNA. Most of us, we look like someone in the family, act like someone in the family. In the family of God, we should have some DNA that we are the children of God. Put on Christ Jesus. Number one, priority with Jesus. Number one thing that you can do that people can see that you are a child of God is to be obedient to the word of God. That was the number one thing in Christ Jesus' life, was to be obedient to what his Father had told him to do. Jesus was obedient that evening in the garden when he prayed and said, Father, if there's another way to do this thing, but if not, I'll go through with it. Being obedient to what my Father said. Being obedient to God's word. To be our number one priority. So sometimes God is put on the back burner. We have so many other things we must do. But for Jesus, being obedient was number one. And the word of God. I don't know about you, but I believe the scriptures reveal God's word to me. Part of my trust in God. I accept the scriptures and his word. Another attribute, God's love. The love in Christ Jesus. You see, it was love that took him to the cross. It was love that had him to be obedient. He wasn't worried about trying to do this thing because God would do something to him. He was doing it because he loved God. Doing it because he wanted the world to know that God was real. God is real. Another thing we need to put on, goodwill. Goodwill is a little bit more than charity. Goodwill is going to cost you something. Goodwill is going to be a sacrifice. Goodwill is acts of love that shows support and acceptance to those that you consider not okay. Yeah. The one that has the issue. The one you think don't measure up. That's the one you should show some goodwill toward. That's the one you should show some acts of love toward. Yes, in that day, they had many a problem and many of issues. But Paul wanted them to know that if you're in Christ Jesus, we are all one together. One member of God's kingdom. God had called us. God had brought us because God loves us. No matter what you might think today, some have decided already that if you don't have it together, you're not okay with me. Some had decided before they came in the house, if you're not okay. But it doesn't matter, because you see, I know that day when God accepted me as his child. I know God gave me a guarantee that I'm his no matter what. And I also remember that he told me I couldn't be his child if I didn't love my neighbor. I remember he said, if you love me with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Thank God today to be part of a kingdom. Part of a kingdom where the people of God is striving for unity and not to be divisive. If I didn't say that right, I'm still okay. I want you to know today, when God starts bringing it to his kingdom, he didn't just drop us off and say, go for it. You see, just like Paul was writing a letter to encourage them, God placed gifts in his church that we might all grow together, that we might all be lifted up, that we might grow together in unity. When I read about God's gifts, some in Ephesians and some in Corinthians, some in Romans, when I read the gifts, I don't find the gifts of lawyer, gifts of banker, politician, of a professor. But I find gifts of apostles. I find the gift of prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. I find gifts of miracle work. Things that God put in his kingdom, that the children of God might come together, that the children of God be edified, be lifted up. I'm okay today. You're okay with me. We may not agree on some issues, but you're still okay with me. Started to wear my red tie today and change my mind. Didn't want to start no confusion in the church. I'm still okay. And you are okay. When we began to focus on that and that, yes, I'm okay with where I am, but I'm okay with where you are. I'm okay with what you think. If it's all right with God, then it's all right with me. I'm okay with it. That don't mean I agree with you, but I'm okay. That's what Paul was trying to get over to the churches in Galatia. Even though you have these differences, yes, you have these Gentiles coming in, they don't understand. Yes, the Gentiles say, no, I'm not going to bow down and come on the Sabbath day because you said. Because I know I'm already in Christ. Thank God to me for the Spirit of God baptizes us, puts us in the kingdom of God. Thank God for you. Thank God for the church of God. Thank God for Trinity. Thank God for the pastor. All of you that are in the kingdom of God. I'm okay. You're okay. Let us pray. Father, on the night before your son went to the cross of Calvary, he stopped, Father, and he prayed to you. He said, Father, as you and I are one, those that believe in me, let them be one. Let them be one together. Let them be one together with you and I. Thank God for Jesus. Lord, I ask you today, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Tonight, Jesus gathered around a table before he was crucified. He did so with those that he knew were about to abandon him and one who was about to betray him. And yet, he gathered with them and said, I have been waiting, excitedly waiting to share this time with you. It is love that Cliff talked about, that unconditional, agape love that allowed Christ to sit with them. Not on the same day. Who knew we're not going to get what he was about to do until he had risen. And even then, they were going to be confused until the Holy Spirit came. And even then, they were going to go out in the world and not get it all right. And yet, he joined with them and shared a meal with them that he knew they could come back to you again and again and again. And so, he took bread, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, this is my body given for you. As often as things get torn apart and broken, remember that what I did on the cross brings you back together. And is bigger than anything that will ever divide you. My love makes you one. And when you partake in this bread, I am able to make you one. Took the cup, he gave thanks to the Father. And this cup is the third cup in the Passover Seder. It's known as the cup of redemption. He gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Remembering that my blood has been shed so that you can experience grace unlimited with God the Father, who says in Christ, you are okay. And not just you, but everyone who is in Christ is at one with the Father. And when we partake in this meal, we are not only one with the Father, but it enables us to be one with each other in ministry. Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ in the world. Pour out your Spirit on us. Make us one with you and one with each other, because we can't do that on our own. We can only do it through you. And may we continue to allow you to make us one until you come again in final victory, and we all feast together around your table, all the saints who have come, all the saints who are, the church made one. Amen. May we allow you to transform us in this moment. Meet us where we need you the most. Strengthen us where we are at our weakest. Breathe your breath upon dry bones and call us to new life. And as we do, may we be able to see others the way you see them, and to see ourselves the same way, that in Christ, we are all okay. You've got this, and you've got us, and we believe that every fiber in our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward and prepare the elements. And as they do, just want to let you know that in the United Methodist Church and in Trinity, we have an open table. That means that everyone is welcome at this table. You do not need to be a member of our church or any church in order to come and participate in this meal. John Wesley used to say that it's both a converting grace and a sustaining grace, meaning it's the way that we come and we know that we are made one with God. It's also what sustains us in ministry together. And so as you come this morning, we'll ask you to come from the beginning of your section, the front rows, working our way back, come out to the left side, come forward, and you can cup your hands. We're going to tear off a piece of bread, and we're going to hand it to you. And then you can take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup and eat it. And allow that grace to just resonate in your mouth and consume you from the inside out. So that as you leave knowing that God is with you. That God is with us. And God is at work making us one. We have gluten-free on either side if you need it. Let us know. You can come and you can kneel after you've partaken in communion, or you can go back to your seat and meditate and pray or sing. So it looks like all is ready, so come. Thank you.
come and tasted and seen that you are good. May all that we have just consumed, which is a means of your tangible grace, continue to transform us and to make us whole, allowing us to be who you created us to be, and inviting others to do the same in a way that honors the sacred worth of every person we encounter, and truly brings about a sense of unity in Christ that transcends our differences and enables us to be one in you and one with each other, and ministry to all in Jesus' name. Amen.
May the love of God, grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, bless, rule, and abide with thy people henceforth and forevermore. Amen.